Welcome everyone to Detoxification. So detoxification is a subject that's near and dear to my heart because it's what I discovered way back when I was not feeling well and was struggling to get my health back. I discovered that I was toxic. And when I incorporated detoxification into my life, my health changed, my life changed, everything changed. Even my career changed because I decided this didn't need to be such a well-kept secret. And I wanted to share it with the world. So I love talking about detoxification. Many of you have been through the Green Cleanse program, but there's more than just doing a week-long Green Cleanse. That is meant as an intro kind of cleanse. It's a cleanse where we're just limiting foods and enhancing through food, but there are a lot of other things you can do to deepen the detoxification practice, and we're going to talk to you about that. Again, I would like to present this in a way so that you really get it. You really own it. You really understand phase one and phase two of the liver and the various foods and supplements and herbs and amino acids that affect it, and that you're able to easily answer questions when people ask you and easily guide people through. And we're also going to talk about what can go wrong during detox, what kind of symptoms can come up, practices that you can incorporate to help them to have a really pleasant experience with detoxification. So disclaimer, yada, yada, yada. This is information, not medical advice. If you have a health condition, talk to your doctor before making any changes. What are signs that your client needs to detox? They can be anything and everything, in fact. And that's what I found out. That was the discovery that changed my life. But some of the common ones are headaches, skin rashes, just overall fatigue, sluggishness, or driving themselves on coffee and sugar, as I was. I didn't realize I was tired. Irritability, constipation, brain fog, inability to lose weight, and many more. But the key is, if people are really doing things fairly right, you know what I mean? They're not the person that's doing the junk food, and they're really following a decent diet lifestyle, and they're still having issues, it's probably because they're toxic. And they even more so need to. When the weight doesn't come off, if I have somebody go through a week-long program of, you know, going gluten-free or whatever, and they don't drop weight, I know that there's something wrong. And a lot of times it's the body has this extra fat that it doesn't want to let go on of because a lot of toxins are stored in the fat. And we're going to go through the mechanisms of how that works. So these are just, I'm not going to read these all. On slide four, there are 84 toxins common in our environment. All of these put a strain on the body. These are breathed in, they're found in foods, they're found on the surfaces of things, they're found in laundry sheets and detergents and you name it, air fresheners, everything and anything. These are things that are hurting. These are things that are putting a load, an extra toxic load on our bodies on a regular basis. If we were to look back through our ancestry a couple hundred years ago or a couple of thousand years ago, it's unlikely that these chemicals would have found their way into their daily regime, into their daily intake in their bodies. Some of them may have, but most would not. And it's this inundation that we have with toxins in the environment. There's so many of them that it makes it really, really hard to be healthy unless you're making heroic efforts. So I want to talk to you, I loved this picture because it really sums it up a lot. The process of detoxification and elimination, that's what we're going to be talking about. How do toxins get in? What kind of havoc do they wreak on your body when they're there? How do you safely remove them to restore the person back to health? So the toxins enter through breathing, the lungs, skin, or your gut. Those are the main routes of entry. The main organ of detoxification is the liver, but quite frankly, every cell in your body has the ability to detoxify. And your digestive tract is second to the liver in its ability to have some of these mechanisms that we're going to be talking about, these conjugation mechanisms and something related to cytochrome P450. That you are going to find in the gut as well. But the liver is by far and away the most potent source. The liver has these processes to go through. I'm going to share everything about those processes. And when it gets backed up, toxins that it can't deal with get stored away. and they mostly get stored in places that contain fat. The liver itself can store toxins. The fat cells can store toxins. The brain, the myelin sheath. But really, any place in your body can store the toxins. And when these toxins get stored away and they're not adequately detoxified, they put a strain on those organs. And you can see all sorts of signs, some of them we mentioned before, like the rashes and allergies and gut stuff and constipation, headaches, and way more. A lot of people are misdiagnosed as having some sort of weird, bizarre illness, when indeed all they are is toxic. And I don't mean to make light of it either. Being toxic is serious, and there are things that we can do about it. So they exit, toxins exit through your skin. So when you mobilize toxins in your body and your liver processes them, you can sweat them out through your skin, you can pee them out via your kidneys, you can poop them out via your colon, and you can exhale them out via your lungs. Those are the main organs of elimination. Okay? So let's get into some of the details. I want you to walk away from this presentation feeling like you own detoxification. You may not remember every chemical that I talked to you about, and glucuronidation and glycination and all this sort of stuff, but you'll know the overall scheme of it. And more so, you'll be really comfortable guiding somebody through a detoxification process. So where did the toxins come from? Our world, our home, our food, and our body. Your body generates just as many toxins as you get from the outside. And by design, we're set up to deal with toxins. We're not designed to sit up with the myriad of toxins we get all over the place. So look at that air. Look at all those cleaning products and body care products. We're inundated with toxins. Whereas in years gone by, we just basically had to deal with our own generated toxins. So we're going to go through all of these. We're going to look at the external toxins, and I like to call them exotoxins, and internal toxins, which I refer to as endotoxins. And there may be some specific medical terminology around those words, but I'll give you the definitions and you can call them what you'd like to. External toxins, they come from all over the place. We all know about the environmental pollutions, but dental amalgams too are a really serious source of toxins that enter our body from the outside. And so many people have had mercury fillings put into their mouths when they were little and still have them. I was really surprised as I went through and started asking people after I had a wake-up call about dental amalgams. It's like, how many do you have? Do you have them? The people who I know are very aware and very health conscious that they still have mercury in their mouths. Things like old paints. They chip off, you touch them, they leach, especially paints that used to contain lead if you live in an old building. Blinds and canned goods. These are just things you touch all the time. There's aluminum in your antiperspirant if you use it, and I highly recommend that you recommend that your clients don't. For a couple of reasons. One, antiperspirant contains aluminum, which is toxic. But on the other hand, you don't want to stop your perspiration. Perspiration is a way of exiting for the toxins. So if your body's detoxifying and you're not allowing it to sweat, guess what? Those toxins are going to recycle, recirculate, go back, affect your brain, affect your skin, other places. Your underarms are meant to have to be sweating. Okay? And then antacids. Hopefully you know better than using antacids. We had a wonderful presentation for the digestive tract, and you have all kinds of alternatives for heartburn and reflux. Mold, it's all around. You go into places that are not cleaned up. You walk into somebody's car sometimes and it smells moldy. So mold is all around us. Anytime there's humidity, there's mold. Occupational exposure, so people who work in mines or pottery, some of those paints, you have to be really careful. Mechanics, farm workers are exposed to things. The air quality and sick building quality, people think about the external toxins, the stuff outside. But the inside air is probably more toxic than the outside air. For one thing, I know, most people I know leave their windows closed year-round. In the summer, it's too hot, so they have the air conditioner on. In the winter, it's too cold, so they have the heater on. And in the summer and spring, sometimes it's too wet, or in some places it's either hot or cold. I keep my windows open all the time, and I would recommend that you do too, and you recommend people that at least for 10 or 20 minutes a day, they open the window. Even in the hot of summer, I live in Austin, Texas, where it's up to be 98 to 110 in the summer. We keep the windows in our bedroom open all day. We keep that door shut because we're fortunate enough to have it on a separate cycle. And then we turn the air conditioning on before we go to bed for an hour if it's hot. If it's not, we leave it off. And then we actually shut the air conditioning down and sleep in the heat. Well, not heat, it's comfortable. But we sleep in the summer without air conditioning. I would say 90 to 95% of nights in the summer. So I'm not saying you have to do that. We're very fortunate. We have a separate zone on the bedroom, so we can do that. But I would at least recommend that in the early morning, middle of the night, whatever, you open up your windows. I even open them in the winter when it's cold out. And yes, we do get cold sometimes here. Not very, but I don't think I would open them if it was 10 below. But I certainly open them when it's 25 or 30 degrees, which it gets to occasionally. At least I leave them open, at least just a crack, to get some air in. You need to be getting rid of the old air and bringing in new air. The outside air is better, unless you're living in, like there's a fire going on and it's full of air. So smoke, you know, people that are breathing in or smoking and breathing in other people's smoke. Various chemicals, there's so much in the personal care. I would highly recommend that you make a point of starting to read everything and then talk to your people about that. When they're complaining about various and sundry conditions, you're going to pick your poison, so to speak. You're going to pick where you're going to start with that. But it's really, really important, and maybe even just have them bring in their bottles and you can look at them or make copies. Or what my people do is they send me the names or the links to the products and I can look at them and tell them nay or yay. But I really like to empower people to make that decision without me having to tell them yay or nay, just because I've trained them enough to be able to do that. Plastics, soft plastics, plastics that you put food into, they contain a lot of hormone inhibitors, phthalates, UV radiation, and the things that we take in, trans fats, high fructose corn syrup, processed foods, refined flours. These are all coming from outside, and they're putting a strain. Our liver has to deal with them, detoxify them, neutralize them, and excrete them. And we're going to be really familiar. I'm going to leave you. We have a lot of slides with the toxins from the world. I talk about them. I don't need to go over those with you here, slides 8 through 12. I recommend that you read them on your own. It's just really, it's probably beating a dead horse. You probably know about a lot of these things, and you can read them and help people to stay away from these things, okay? Stay away from these things, because it's a constant stress. It's a constant thing that's happening day in and day out. It's not like every now and then you go to a restaurant and you drink tap water and you get toxins. No, this is stuff you're doing day in and day out. Read the labels. The thing I would have you do is make sure you read the labels with people that are gluten intolerant or dairy intolerant. A lot of times dairy and gluten are used in those products, in the hair care products and toothpastes and everything. Formaldehyde, radon, lead, carbon monoxide, arsenic, vinyl chloride, hydrofluoric acid. So I'm giving you a little bit of a description of what these are. So this is like a reference document for you. The VOCs, the solvents, the disinfection, pesticides. And you know, speaking of VOCs, volatile organic compounds, these are in paint, when we paint the house, right? So if you ever have gone away and then come back, your house is closed for several weeks, you come back in, you really notice the smell because you've been away from it. And I've noticed that too. And my house hasn't been painted in many years. But still, except for my office, which we did with no VOC paint. But these no VOC paints are now available routinely. They cost a little bit more, but heck, how often do you paint your house, really? And it's your health. So I would say, look at if you're coming up with having to paint, look at the no VOC paints that they have at all the major chains. Now, it used to be you had to really search far and wide to get them. So those are toxins in our world. The toxins at home include the cleaning supplies, carpets, paint, air fresheners, even cooking utensils, like the non-stick coating on the Teflon pans or those flipper things. when you combine that with heat, you're going to get leaching of that stuff in, so you want to be careful. Supposedly there's one or two brands that are decent that they don't, I think Dr. Mercola had talked about those, but otherwise they're just not good for you. Just use good old stainless steel or wood as a utensil. Okay, deodorant soaps, and deodorants especially, you know, you're plugging up those sweat glands. I mean, that's a source of underarms is where there's a lot of lymphatic. And when the lymph is there, you know, you really, you don't want to plug it up because it's going to plug up your immune system. Even these days, makeup and body care products, there's so many nice lines now that are not putting chemicals in them. It's really, it's a little bit more expensive, but toxins from the food. There's 3 pages of toxins in your food. And I want to point out a few of these to you. Mercury, obviously, you guys know about mercury and lead, really toxic to the nervous system, very, very toxic to the nervous system and the immune system. And then there's the pesticides. So if you're buying organic, okay, you can avoid most of the pesticides. You have a hard time avoiding those GMOs because those seeds keep flying from one farm to the next, but definitely can avoid the pesticides. Sugar is something that you can easily avoid, and sugar is definitely a toxin. It's a neurotoxin as well, I believe, and it triggers lots of problems. It triggers changes in neurotransmitters and your immune system, etc. Food additives, acrylamides. What are acrylamides? Acrylamides are produced when you heat starches in the oven. So it has to be above a certain temperature. It doesn't happen when you steam them with water, but when you dry heat starches like potatoes or corn in an oven, it creates a chemical called acrylamides, and they have been associated with cancer. So it's a toxin that gets in your system. The sodium nitrate in processed meats, it's another source of toxicity in your food, affects your body dramatically. It creates free radical formation, and it's something for the liver to have to work on. And then polychlorinated biphenyl, dioxin, farmed fish, meat, and dairy. So these are things that we shouldn't be putting in our bodies. I don't think anybody's studied the long-term effects of these, and the short-term effects are not pretty. We've already identified a lot of these things as neurotoxins, yet we're still allowed to put them on the food. So your choice is educating your clients to avoid these things. Bisphenol A is a hormone antagonist, a hormone disruptor. It's in canned foods, in plastic. Dioxins, recombinant bovine growth hormone. Oh, that's another one. They give these animals not just real growth hormone, but it's genetically modified bovine growth hormone, and it's being put in dairy. The long-term effects of that are scary to me. And aspartame, it's already been identified as a neurotoxin. People who have MS and go off of the aspartame and get it better, there's a lot of online research about that. But aspartame, diet sodas, and artificially sweetened foods, they've got to go. You've got to talk to them about it. Arsenic. When you eat chickens that are not grown organically, they tend to have high levels of arsenic. Hydrogenated oils, they're found all over the place, shockingly all over the place. And it's just, you just have to really be careful. I think somebody was eating Mary's crackers the other day. They don't have that in there. But most of the crackers that you buy at the store are loaded with hydrogenated oils. Why? Shelf life. Artificial colors, artificial flavors, neurotoxins, they affect detoxification. Teflon and other coated cookware give off noxious gases when they're heated. And finally, monosodium glutamate, which is found hidden in a lot of foods that say natural foods on them, or natural flavorings, and a really disguised MSG. So these are the things you're teaching people to avoid. The first part of detox is always reducing the toxic load. And so many people want to jump right into some fancy detox product. And which is the best detox product on the market, they say, over their cup of coffee or their beer and pizza? Which detox product should I try? Well, start by decreasing the toxic load. And then we'll talk about how to get in there and really upregulate those cycles. Endotoxins. Let's talk about endotoxins. I think traditionally in human physiology and anatomy, they'll talk a lot about endotoxins being more bacterial endotoxins. toxins that are produced from the gut bugs and the bugs that are living in your body that you haven't really invited but have taken hold. But really, I look at endotoxins as anything that's generated inside your body. Every single thought you think, muscle you move, food, piece of food you digest, thought you think, everything generates toxins. Anger and stress generate more toxins than most. Moving your muscles, the whole process of creating ATP creates oxidative stress on the body. So we need to be able to get rid of this. We need our detoxification pathways to be open so that we can get rid of the toxins that our own body produces in addition to all the stuff from outside. It's like, well, didn't we have enough to deal with on our own? Do we have to add insult to injury and add all those things from the environment? So there's a lot here, a lot of things. And the microbial toxins from any kind of organism, it's not just a candida thing. Yeasts, bacteria, viruses, parasites, all produce bacterial endotoxins. I have a really cool picture to show you in just a bit. Actually, right here. So I look at the endotoxins as any toxins that are produced inside your body, either from normal bodily functions or produced by microbes living in your body, such as bacteria, fungus, yeasts, or parasites. So if you look at this cell, you can see that there's a layer in the, they call the LPS, meaning lipopolysaccharide layer, between the center of the cell, the cytoplasm of the cell, and the cell membrane. There's a layer there. That's where the endotoxins lie. So it explains to you why when you go on a detox program, or specifically like an anti-candida or an anti-parasitic program, and you're taking some supplements to kill off these bacteria and these bugs, they're releasing those toxins into your bloodstream. And that's why some people feel worse when they start to detox, is because they're getting rid of these bugs. And the bugs are, you just can't keep up with the toxins that they're producing. For a lot of people, that's why it's really important to move slowly through any process of detox or colon cleanse. So you can see that. And when that gets released, this other picture is even cooler. So you've got the nucleus of the macrophage. That first cell is that little cute macrophage. You see it looks kind of like a hungry little dinosaur head with the bacteria going into its mouth. You see that? It ingests the gram-negative bacteria. And then the bacteria is broken down inside the macrophage. It's degraded. And it releases the endotoxins. And those endotoxins induce that macrophage to produce some interleukin-1, IL-1. And it's released into the bloodstream, travels to the hypothalamus and the brain. And when it gets there, it induces the hypothalamus to produce prostaglandins to reset the body's thermostat to a higher temperature, so to produce fever. So this is what happens when you're exposed to a bacteria and how you get a fever, how that proceeds. So it's those toxins from the bacteria, when you actually do start to try to kill it, that induce the fever. And the fever, the higher temperature, is helping you to get rid of it more quickly. So we've got toxins made inside your body. Where are they made? So let's look. Well, every time you exercise, you have toxins that build up. Some lactic acid is one of them. But your body has to deal with that. The liver has to recover from that. You've got stress. Cortisol produces lots of toxins in its wake. You've got exposures, the environment, like we talked about, firemen, food. You've got the foods, whether the foods are fully supporting you or they're missing nutrients or they've got toxicity in them. They're going to play a role in your toxic load. Detox mechanisms. When actually while you're detoxing the environment, you're reducing byproducts. Detox has its own metabolic byproducts and toxic byproducts. Your immune system certainly does. We saw that before. You have all those agents, those things that break down, they degrade, the enzymes that break down and degrade the various toxins and the bacteria and things that get into your system. So your immune system definitely. Well, we know our digestive produces metabolic toxins, and sometimes it erupts in terms of painful and not so nice smelling gas. Those are toxins, putrefactive products of the breakdown of food when you don't have the right enzymes, or when you're doing it in a hurry, or you're under stress when you're trying to eat. So that brings us full circle right back to exercise. So all of these things, some of which are really good for us, like eating good foods and exercising and detoxing and producing muscular movement, these are all going to be causing problems if you don't have the right mechanisms in place to get rid of them. So it looks like a bedroom slipper with some nice massage units to massage your feet. Hey, stick your foot in there and walk around, and you're going to get a good massage on your foot. But actually, what is it? It's a mitochondria. It's the inside of a mitochondria. And the mitochondria are the powerhouses of every cell. They live in every cell. And while they produce energy for you, they also lead to oxidative stress. A lot of stress on the system, a lot of chemical byproducts of mitochondrial work. The other places they're produced, the adrenal glands, the muscles, the digestive tract, the brain, the lungs, and the liver. Microbial endotoxins come from the overgrowth of yeasts, which are mycotoxins are produced by them. Bacteria produce endotoxins and exotoxins. Viruses produce oxidants, the damaged cells that the virus is in terms of getting rid of them, or the virus is attaching to the cells. And then parasites, they're oxidants produced by parasites as well as by cells and tissues to try to fight them. So what causes microbial overgrowth? What causes these overgrowths that create the toxicity in your gut? Well, sugar for sure, that feeds yeast and funguses big time. It disables your macrophages, so it causes more bacteria to be able to take hold. If you've had antibiotics, and you've had too many antibiotics, it messes up your gut flora. Even one round of antibiotics is antibiotic abuse in some cases, because it disrupts your normal flora. And then, of course, pesticides and pollutants are big-time causes of overgrowth. So these are the kinds of health challenges that you'll be looking for when your client presents to you. They are going to want to get over these challenges. They may not know there's anything to do with toxicity related to their symptoms. They may not think there's anything to do with their food or their exercise or their thoughts. So it's your job to educate them differently. So things like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, chemical sensitivity syndrome, attention and focusing problems, those are all very almost vague and nebulous concepts, yet they're very real if you're experiencing them. If you go to a doctor, a standard traditionally trained medical doctor, you talk about fibromyalgia, it's a bucket description. It's something that you put you in because you can't find anything else to describe. Same thing with chronic fatigue, and chemical sensitivity isn't even recognized by most of those practitioners. But the truth is that toxic overload can affect your attention, your focus, your mood, cause you to be depressed, anxious, irritable, can cause you to have headaches. It can cause you to have irritable bowel, joint pain, and allergies. So lots of things can result from toxic overload, and you probably already know this, but I want you to be aware these are the kinds of things, this is what you're looking for when you see somebody presenting this way.